the counseling discipleship training is, and then get some more questions answered from there. Anything else you guys, Pastor Dave, you want to say about that? All right, good deal. So looking forward to that. As I mentioned this morning on Wednesday, we're going to be starting a new series in the adult Bible study on unsung heroes of Scripture. And I believe we're looking at Abigail this week. And looking at those characters, those people that are in the Scriptures that aren't in there very long, or we don't know a ton about them, but we can still learn a lot about our great God through the way that they're mentioned in there. So you want to make sure you come to that. And then a week from Wednesday is when Fly kicks back off, correct? Yeah, we'll be looking forward to Fly a week from this coming Wednesday. A couple other ministry type items to consider. One, Kevin Smith is going to be heading up our missions committee, and that's something that's not been active a whole lot here lately, but Kevin Smith has agreed to do that. So if you would be willing to be a part of the missions committee to encourage our missionaries, to really support them, and then also think about missions, help us as a church think about missions, please let him know. You can come talk to me and I'll get you guys in contact. But Kevin Smith is taking heading that up, and he's looking for a team of people to help him out with that. So make sure if that's something that's on your heart and you want to be a part of, let myself or Kevin know, and we'll get you more details from there. Looking forward to the coming up at the end of the month. We have the Rekindle marriage retreats out at the camp coming up. There's two different weekends. Great opportunity to get away and spend some time at the camp, fellowshipping with one another, but also thinking critically about the marriage, your marriage. And it's the most important relationship, earthly relationship we have, but oftentimes it gets pushed to the side for all the urgent things around us. And so go ahead and come on out. That's not just for people who are in dire straits, but those who are doing well and want to keep doing well, spend some time together, come on out to the camp, and we'd love to have you out there. More information about that's on the website, or you can come see any of us camp staff and we'll get you information about that. Any other ministry updates and announcements we want to make sure we make tonight? All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and open us in a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Rex. Gracious Father, what a privilege it is to be a part of the body of Christ. We thank you for the work of your Son on the cross and the work that your Spirit has done in our lives to open our eyes to see the truth of our sinfulness and the reality that your Son paid the penalty for our sin on the cross, and as a free gift of grace that has extended to us the free gift of salvation, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the faith that you have given us to trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, you didn't leave us here to be lone rangers, but rather gathered us together in order to do life with one another, to be ambassadors for you here in a lost world, and to help spur one another along in our Christian walk, Lord. And Lord, I pray that tonight as we think about prayer and we actually pray, spend time together corporately praying, Lord, I pray that you would be magnified and honored through all that we do tonight and say tonight, but Lord, that you would encourage all of our hearts. I pray that we would be people who pray the word, and that you would help us to grow in doing that more and more, publicly in this setting and privately in our own prayer closets here in 2026. Lord, we thank you for the many ministries that are happening and the many people that are involved in things, some of them up front, most of them behind the scenes and interacting with one another and ministering to one another. I pray that you would just utilize those times of ministry to see people come to grow into the image and likeness of your Son. And Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged by the ministries that we are able to take part in. Lord, we also pray for the CDT training coming up here starting tomorrow. Pray that you would use that in a mighty way. Allow people to see that there are answers to life's problems in the Scriptures, Lord. And that we don't have to go seeking elsewhere, but rather we can trust in the sufficient word that you have supplied for us, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would encourage people's hearts, equip them to do ministry, and that you would encourage those who need it to be here and to hear the truth of your word taught. Lord, we thank you again for life, breath, and everything. We ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen.
Well, good evening. It's good to be with you. And I just want to thank Pastor for his message this morning to really get us started in this year of praying the word. A couple things I was thinking of as Matt was praying. First, there's a word in the New Testament used for prayer. It's a common word used for prayer, and it can have a nuance of the time and the place of prayer, and it requires that, doesn't it? It requires us to set aside a time and a place. There is this sense in which we pray without ceasing. We're kind of prayerful throughout the day, but there's also this time and place, right? Putting it on the calendar. And here you are. Praise the Lord. It's great to see all of you here at a time and place of prayer this evening. And one of the things we can do as a church, and we're going to do this year, is to give you a time and place to pray. And we're going to pray a lot tonight. One of the things I would encourage you to do, I see Fox has a little notepad there and a pen. It might not be a bad idea to bring a little notepad to these prayer meetings. One of the things that Paul always says in his opening prayers is, I do the work of remembering you. I do the work of remembering you. I thank God at every remembrance of you. And so one of the things that helps me remember is writing it down. So whether you use your phone to do that or whether you use a little journal or notebook, you're going to pray things tonight you might not want to forget. You even might want to have like a little personal debrief session with your journal or notepad after the meeting so that you can carry these things with you throughout the weeks and into our next prayer meeting. So just some ideas as we get started. So pastor preached from Acts 13, 1 through 3. Just some review of that. He had this statement, the decision of this prayer meeting in Acts literally changed the Roman Empire. Think about that. Changed, and he's right. I had never thought about that. That meeting changed the Roman Empire. By the year, what, 300, Christianity was the official religion of the Roman Empire. I mean, it's amazing. And it all started, I mean, it started at the cross, but it started in the church at that prayer meeting. Robert Murray McShane, what a man is on his knees before God, that he is and nothing more. Some review again. Prayer is essential for the church of God. Prayer must be linked to the word of God. Prayer helps us understand the will of God, which we're going to talk a lot about that tonight. Prayer is vital for doing the work of God. And so these are some of the challenges for praying the word in 2026. Praying the Lord's Prayer this week. So when you leave here and you start your week tomorrow, kids are going back to school tomorrow, take the Lord's Prayer with you into work. Take it with you to school. Pray through the Lord's Prayer. And for dads and granddads, don't forget to find those headshots this week so that we can collect those and then have those ready to pray over. Tonight, we want to meet with God in hopes of learning about his burden. We'll talk about his burden from a big picture, zoomed out point of view, and then we'll really zoom in and talk about some of the specific biblical burdens that God wants us to either release, receive, or do some other things with. So first, we'll broadly and personally consider God's burden in the scripture, which will lead us toward praise and petition. Second, we'll consider the three aspects of burdens in the scripture, which will lead us toward confession, perhaps reconciliation, if that's something that God puts on your heart, and more petition or asking of the Lord. And then finally, we will celebrate our fellowship with the glorious and good God of the Bible. We'll have some songs. We'll have different movements of prayer, but a little bit of instruction up front, okay? So let's take a zoomed out look at God's burden as revealed in the scriptures. And here's the question we're asking. What is the burden of God throughout the biblical narrative? And I'm just giving a sky overview of this. From the beginning, and think through scripture with me, we learn that God desired to reveal his glory and goodness to and through the creation, especially to and through humans. Okay, so there's a unique relationship that humans have, and especially his redeemed people have with God and in the revelation of his glory and goodness. Following the fall of humanity and creation, God's heart continues to be that same thing, to reveal his glory and goodness to and through creation as exhibited now in his redemptive plan. So as he's redeeming humanity, he wants to reveal his glory and goodness. as he's working toward the new creation, he wants to reveal his glory and goodness. But also, even in his judgment, he's going to reveal his glory and his goodness as he saves his people, but also as he judges sin and death and the devil, as he's going to reveal his glory and goodness. Isn't it good that there's a God who will finally and fully judge evil? Amen? That's a good thing. So God's burden for the Christian is consistent throughout. It's really the same thing throughout Scripture, that we would know his glory and goodness through redemption. A life redeemed, bought by the Son, set free by him and for him. So that's the burden that God has for the world, right? To redeem it. This life for us and experience is made possible through the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Through the Holy Spirit, who applies to us the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus, who experienced the glory and goodness himself of God through suffering and on into resurrection. So when we think about what does experiencing God's glory and goodness look like? Well, it looks like Jesus. Oh, I don't know how much I like that. He suffered a lot. Yeah. So his glory and goodness is not bound up in circumstances. It's able to be experienced and realized and known in the midst of whether it's pain or joy, like we heard this morning. The burden upon the individual Christian as well as the local church might be received, might be carried, might be serviced, might be offered. These are words that this burden language in Scripture, these verbs are related to it. Receiving, carrying, serving the burden, offering toward or offering the burden in various ways according to God's will. But it'll always maintain this idea of God's glory and goodness through his redemptive plan. So life under this burden cannot be, it's not a reactionary thing. We can't just, oh, now I'm under the burden. No, it's a life of consistently living in this redeemed life. If we try to just quickly and in a reactive way sort of get under the burden, we'll find it too heavy. It's a bit like exercise in that way. You can't just, okay, I'm going to go lift 400 pounds. You can't do that. You know, you got to work from lower weight to larger weight. So we want to be under this burden that God has to redeem and to make things new and to reveal his glory and goodness. But it's something that takes a life of consistency, and prayer is a big part of this. Life under the burden is consistently shaped. It's prepared by grace. It's practice and disciplines of devotion and worship. So to get us started, Dave's going to come and sing How Great Thou Art. And then we're going to have a movement of prayer and praise our God. So Dave, come and sing for us. And Joe's going to play. Yeah? Amen.
It wouldn't be up there. So let's all sing this. This is just to get a vertical focus. I just looked at the verses while I was getting ready to come up here. The first verse is general revelation of creation. The third verse is specifically the verse about Christ and the cross and our redemption. And the fourth is about Christ's return. So we're looking at those three themes. And don't let the familiarity of it miss the message, so pay attention. So if you'll sing with me, I think we should stand to sing this song. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Here's our response. then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down mountly mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Let's sing this verse a little quieter. And when I think that God His Son not sparing said out, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. My soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. It's my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art.
Stay standing, actually. Stay standing. Yep. We'll move into our first time of prayer. And if you would, close your eyes. And I know usually when we pray, we close our eyes, we kind of bow our heads down. I'd actually like you to lift your face up. Because what we're going to do here is we're going to praise God for His glory and goodness in creation and or in redemption. So I want you to take a minute and think about things, ways in which you've seen His glory and goodness in creation and or in redemption. And we're just going to offer short prayers throughout the congregation now. Father, I praise or thank You for Your glory and goodness because, and then you fill in the blank. Okay, so we're just going to have a time, eyes closed, faces tilted up, where we praise and thank the Lord for His glory and goodness. I'll start. Father, I praise You for Your glory in creating human beings. You've shown Your intelligence and creativity.
They are the blessing that You give us and our one look in death.
Father, as we were singing about the hearing the brooks and the song, I just thank You for allowing me to grow up on a farm.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You for the grace of service, Thy knowledge of Thy kingdom, and the kindness of eternity, Lord God of our salvation. And I just thank You that You do all that You can do with Your creation. And thank You for giving our Heavenly Father and kindness to that knowledge of Your kingdom.
Father, I thank You for Your patience.
Father, I thank You that You care to listen to us and You didn't hear Your talk.
Father, I ask that You would hear these praises, that You would receive them for Your glory. For Your name's sake, Lord, we offer these thanks. We return thanks to You. We've been recipients of so many good things. We just return and thank You for all these things this evening. Give us a tender heart that's quick to thank You, quick to praise You. Help us to take inventory of Your glories, of Your good things. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So this idea of God's burden, there's a Hebrew word, masah, that comes up in a bunch of different contexts. It can come up in a place where somebody or an animal is even carrying a load, like a beast of burden. Or a person in charge of transporting goods. It comes up metaphorically for a burden or load on someone or on someone's soul, like in Numbers 11 or Deuteronomy 1. Or a person who has become a burden for various reasons to another person. It can have a double meaning with the idea of pronouncement combined with the previous meaning as a burden, a load, a metaphorical. Like a lot of times with the prophets, you see the word oracle. It's burden. This is the burden of the Lord that came to so-and-so. And it's, you know, so there it's a spiritual burden, but it's also a message, you see. So there's really one Hebrew word that this concept revolves around, and there are about six different Greek words that try to nuance the kind of burden that we see then coming through in English. I don't want to get too much more into that, but, you know, that's a coffee talk. If you want to take me out for coffee or pray together, we can talk more about the language of the burden. But I've worked on a small, simple outline to describe all these things. A zoomed-in look at the concept of biblical burdens in Scripture. So first, the Scriptures reveal that there are burdens to be released to God. There are things that tonight you probably need to give to God. Burdens that you can't carry by yourself. The Scriptures reveal that there are burdens that are common to every person. Right? There are burdens that we all carry that are similar. And you let your mind wander a bit on what those may be. I'm going to be a little light on the instruction because I want to get to praying, okay? So just track with me. The Scriptures reveal that there are burdens to be received from God, like the prophet who receives the message. We might think of the gospel mission, our missionaries, or anybody who's working in any ministry. You've received a burden for a particular kind of service or offering. We're going to have Scott come and sing the goodness of God. And then we're going to move into a goodness of Jesus. And Joe's going to accompany him. And then we're going to move into a second time of prayer, seeking God's grace to release burdens to him. Okay, so as we're singing, start to think about those things.
So this song is becoming familiar to us. We've done it 4 or 5 times. And kids, in 35 years, when you're looking at a new hymn book, just remember, oh yeah, I remember when Scott sang that, led that, because it's going to be in a hymn book if we have one in 35 years. Oh, the goodness of Jesus, so precious to talk about troubles, the goodness of Jesus, and peace. The song combines all three of those. You want to stand, we'll sing. You'll remember it as we sing it. Come ye weary heart now to Jesus, come you anxious soul now and see, there is perfect love and comfort in your tears, rest here in his wondrous peace. Oh, the goodness of Jesus, satisfied is all that I need. May it become what may, that I rest all my days in the goodness of Jesus. Come find what this world cannot offer. Come and find your joy here complete. Taste the living water, never thirst again. Rest here in his wondrous peace. Oh, the goodness of Jesus. Satisfied, he is all that I need. May it become what may, that I rest all my days in the goodness of Jesus. Come and find your hope now in Jesus. He is all he said he would be. Grace is overflowing from the Savior's heart. Rest here in his wondrous peace. Oh, the goodness of Jesus. Satisfied, He is all that I need. May it become what may, that I rest all my days in the goodness. Sing that again. Oh, the goodness. Oh, the goodness of Jesus. Satisfied is all that I need. May it become what may, that I rest all my days in the goodness of. May it become what may. May it be. May it become what may, that I rest all my days in the goodness of Jesus.
You can be seated for this one. So we want to move towards seeking God for grace to release burdens. And what we're going to do, we're going to get either in families or somebody that you're pretty comfortable praying with, because these things are pretty sensitive sometimes, okay? You maybe you're an extrovert like me, and it doesn't matter who you're sitting with. You'll pray with anybody and be as open as a book. Or maybe you're a little more not like that, and that's okay too. So find someone, family, friend that you're very close to, that you're very comfortable praying with, and you're going to get in a group. Now our burdens, I'm just going to describe potential burdens. We have a lot of parents and grandparents in the room. There could be burdens there. It could be something related to sin, a debt to God, a slavery to sin, a heavy burden of iniquity. You could just have a burden to praise God for something you haven't praised Him. You haven't released that praise to Him or thanked Him yet. But you should. Now's your time, right? Now's your time. Maybe you need to release control over something. Maybe you have a burden and struggle with legalism. I don't know what your burden is that you need to release to God. But if we could just take a few minutes in small groups, people you're comfortable praying with, maybe your family has a particular burden that you get a chance right now to pray about that thing. We're going to take just a few minutes and do that. Our Father, as we continue to lift these to you, these burdens, help us to really release them to your help, to your grace. Pastor spoke this morning about a connection between prayer and power. And Lord, we need your power. Your power and your grace to release these things to you and to trust you with them. Some of these burdens require change in us. Some of these burdens require change in a group of people that may include us or may not include us. Some of these burdens are for salvation of loved ones. Some of these burdens are related to, in my case, control over my tongue in my family. And so, Lord, we just we release these in hope that we will receive the grace and the power we need, or our circumstances need, to look at them and say, I've experienced a move of God in these situations, in these burdens. So we pray all this and conclude this time in the name of Jesus and by the Holy Spirit's help. Amen. Brother Derek's going to come and sing Jesus Paid It All. So let's stand and sing with him and receive this, right? Let's receive that Jesus has paid it all for us and for our salvation.
Yes, Jesus paid it all. I was going to say please stand, but you're already standing, so...
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leopard's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Thank you.
Amen. You can be seated. In our next movement of prayer, we're going to seek God for help to endure common burdens, things that aren't going to go away. They're going to be there. They're common to life. These are things that maybe we miss in prayer sometimes. We live in them constantly, and we don't ask for help for them, but they're heavier than we might be willing to admit sometimes. Matthew 27:32. Maybe you're forced to do something unplanned, like carry a cross. You ever forced to do something you didn't plan to do? Happens all the time. Actions of others who find you burdensome. Maybe somebody finds you burdensome. It's not always the other way around. Just ask my wife if I'm ever burdensome. I am. I can be a burden. Physical labor is not going away. Just never goes away. It gets harder as you get older. I'm 43, so I'm younger than some of you and older than others. But I have noticed there are things that I can't do like I used to do. But they still have to be done. So the next one is the burdens that accompany age. And then other common life burdens, like Paul talks about in Galatians 6:5. We were to help each other bear burdens. And so privately, individually, just take some time to pray quietly. Not in a group, just you. And I invite you, if you want to, you don't have to. I'm not going to coerce anyone. You can get on your knees and pray. You can just sit in your chair and bow and pray. You can stand and pray, however you want to pray. But pray about these common things that sometimes we don't ask for the Lord's help in carrying. Just take a few minutes and pray about those things. Dear Father, I was a little surprised at the number of things that you just brought to my memory. Whether it be attitudes in certain situations that I struggle with every day.
my blood pressure that I struggle with every day. The fear and the PhD I carry every day. The feeling of not doing enough every single day. The fear of failing to have important conversations before it's too late. So Lord, whatever my brothers and sisters tonight, whatever these common things that they carry every day might be, Lord, help us to carry them. Help us to carry them faithfully. Help us to carry them with your power. Help us to carry them by your grace. Help us to carry them for your glory and with joy and hope. I pray all this in the name of Christ, who carried the greatest burden for your glory and goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, thinking about Jesus, you know, I always go back to the cross as his burden, but he also carried these common burdens, didn't he? He also carried these common burdens that all of us carry. Our next movement, this is going to be a little different. Let me see what time it is. Okay. So we're going to split up into some groups, and I need you to kind of gravitate where you feel led to gravitate. Okay. So we're going to pray. We're going to seek God for insight. Okay. So we're asking for insight, asking for wisdom, knowledge, discernment, to receive burdens from him. So we're asking for burdens. Okay, or the sort of the expression of his great burden for the redemption and new creation, but particularized through our own lives. So, and in our own church. And so the way we're going to do this is we're going to pray over different things in the church building, and not physically for the things, but for the ministries and the things that take place in those spaces. Okay, and asking for insight for our church. God, how do you want us to better live out these good burdens that you have for us as a church? The burden of your mission, if you will. So some can pray over the pulpit. If you feel led to go to the pulpit and pray for the ministry of the word. Two things, if you want to pray through the pews, and you guys, most of you are here all the time, so you know who sits where. you don't have to get that specific, but some of you can wander through the pews and pray for the ministries of people in the pews and or the calling over the lives of people in the pews, either of those things, okay? If you want to pray for the leadership of the church, go back to the office area. You can just go in Wilma's office if you want and pray for the leadership of the church as they receive and live out the burden of God's redemptive plan. Discipleship. Why don't you go to the Sunday school room here, okay, and pray in that room. Rest in Jesus. Go to the counseling room. People have problems. They need rest. They need salvation. They need truth. So you can go to the counseling room. And then God's mission. Go to the missionary wall. Okay. So everybody heard those things. I know it was a lot. And if we don't pray for everything, if you feel, I don't want us to feel like we have to fill all the spots. What I want you to do is, God, where are you? Because we'll pray over these again. Right. So if you want to pray for something else next time, you can. Where do you feel led tonight to pray? Okay. So we'll scatter for about 5 or 6 minutes and then come back here for our final song and close. Okay. And that'll be the end of tonight. So scatter and go where you would like. just praise the Lord. We've got 10,000 reasons, right, to praise Him. We'll close out our time with this song. And then, Pastor, if you'd come and lead us in a closing prayer at the end. Thinking about the end of our lives coming, I just couldn't help but think about yesterday as a group of us were with Sharon Brannon carrying boxes and seeing boxes of trophies that'll end up in the trash. I just think about Jack, our dear brother, that was with us not long ago, and now he's with you. And so much of what life was about was ball and winning trophies, and it all has a place in your plan in this short window of life, but it's all going to go in the trash eventually. But
You've reminded us tonight of what's on your heart, this great burden that you're making yourself known. And we've, as Peter said, cast our burdens on you, and now we leave with your burden on our hearts. But it's a burden that you provide the power to carry it. So thank you. Thank you so much for the evening. We've enjoyed together calling on you. We ask your blessing as we leave this place. May the fragrance of us having been with you be that which goes with us. May people sense it and want to know about you because of us having been together. We've asked for specific things tonight, and you've heard every one of them. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.